When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses. Season 12, Episode 39.
This is Writing Excuses, Q&A on shorter fiction.
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And we're not that smart.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Piper.
I'm Dan.
I'm Howard.
I'm glad you paid attention on that one.
Yeah. I'm not sure I was awake. I'm so sorry. I was like waiting.
Oh, we Piper, have never done that.
The number of times we've gotten that little tag bit wrong.
Despite doing it for 10 years, we still flub it.
Oh my goodness.
All right. All right.
I'm so sorry.
All you did was start a second and a half after Brandon expected you to.
You left them waiting for it. Josiah asks, and I said shorter fiction because we're going to cover novellas and things, which are still kind of long, but how do you market short stories today? How important is it for prospective novelists to learn the short story field, and are novellas more viable now with shelf publishing? That is three questions rolled in one, Josiah, but they are good questions.
Yeah, I think the short fiction authors that I know are really marketing themselves rather than any individual story for the most part.
I would agree with that. And the online magazines are the primary method of doing this, I found. Tor.com counts, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
There's a real boom in these sort of online, some subscription-based, some free web zines.
Yeah, and you look at the covers of those, or their web covers, and what they are promoting is, we have a story from this person and from this person, and that's, you're really selling yourself as a short author.
I think it's important to realize that if you're selling yourself as a short author, that your content has to be a consistent quality, but continually surprising. People want to know what's going to come out of you next, as opposed to, I loved that one single short, and I want more of that world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you pick up a short story by someone whose name you recognize, you know you're going to get a quick, awesome fix.
Yes.
And that's part of what I look for, is that. The other question on, are novellas more viable now with self-publishing? The answer is absolutely yes.
Yep.
That doesn't mean that they are a golden ticket like I thought they might become, in that the novella market was really booming for a while, but we have seen some work and some not work, but they are certainly viable. Because when the only avenues were print magazines, they could only publish one novella in the whole magazine per issue, and some didn't even do a single novella. So you had very few places you could sell them. So any increase in that is...
Yeah, more viable than virtually nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Still counts, but doesn't say much.
If you are self-pubbing, the novella is kind of ideal, because your investment in word count is lower.
Yes.
You are more likely to hit the price point sweet spot, the $2.99 sweet spot on Amazon.
Right.
And a novella, serialized novellas are kind of perfect for web-based, for mobile-based consumption.
I think it is an excellent form for this, but let's reiterate.
Not a golden ticket.
If you're good at the form and you can build a name for yourself, you'll do all right. The problem is just releasing a novella by itself is gonna be worse than just releasing a novel, because it's bite size. It's gotta market you into something, like to take the readers and funnel them toward your novels or your other short fiction, or it has to be a tie-in to your novels as a bonus thing for fans.
Matt Wallace's Sin du Jour series, which I promoed in 2016, I think, is a great example. If you're looking at the novella market, if you're looking at, you know, what can I do with serial novellas, Matt Wallace's Sin du Jour series is worth picking up and looking at, because I think he has executed on the medium, on, you know, on that form really, really well.
We've talked earlier this year about leveraging either short stories or novellas in particular to give your readers something to read in between the releases of your novels. Mm, yeah. And I've seen that approach, especially if you only have one novel per year, depending on how fast or how many different series you're juggling, a novella is a good option to have another taste of that story or that universe come out in the same year without burning yourself out as a writer.
All right. Danielle asks, what are tips you have for mapping out the pacing of a short story?
Well, Mary has this fantastic formula. No,
we talked about it with Mary.
Yeah.
When I was there for the Chicago team. I want to get your perspectives on this. How do you guys plot or map out a short story?
I am not a short fiction writer, though I have done some. And what I find that I'm constantly doing is paring it down. And what that teaches me is, you know, draft after draft, this is still too long. What can be cut out and what needs to stay? And it's really showing me what the bones are and what's important to a short story. I don't know if I have
The discovery writing a short story is really problematic because, I shouldn't say it's problematic for everybody, but it's fraught because the end, you don't know it. And the end really should only be about 5,000 or 6,000 words away from where you started. For me, plotting the pacing out means before I sit down to write, I need to know the beginning, I need to know the middle, and I need to know the end. I need to know those three things. And then I'll use, you know, post-it notes or index cards or something to tell me, hey, by the 2,000 word mark, I have to have hit the middle. By the 4,000 word mark, I have to have hit that iconic moment that I'm having happen in the end.
That's really good advice. I like that because I've been thinking about what I do. And I'm not sure if I consider myself a short story writer yet. I am a novella writer. But I do have three short stories in my collection that came out last year. So I'm figuring this one out. And I figure out for me, as normally a longer fiction writer, a novella, I can just write a short version of what I already do. And it works really well. I pare down the subplots. I focus on the meat of one thing. And I do a 25,000 word novel is basically what I'm doing. Short stories are different. Short stories are not a shorter novel. Short stories are their own thing, at least in, and so for what I'm doing is I really have to know what my ending is, and I have to contain the way I'm pointed at that. I say, this is the thing that the zing, the zip, the pow I want to have at the end of this story, and every little piece needs to only be pointed at that pow. We're not pointed at the character arc, we're pointed at the pow. If the character arc is the pow, then that's fine, but everything has to be focused on that, and that is how I make them work.
As a twist on that, because I do all of those things where I need to know the start, the middle, the end, and I really have to keep my focus on what's that end and get there post-haste in a short story, I'm thinking, because I'm a romance author, who are the people that are involved in my romantic element? How are they going to survive the challenge? How are they going to react to the challenge? There has to be not only a climax, but a black moment for that couple where there's a chance that they're not going to get together. And then by the end, I have to make it so they resolve their end game and also get together at least believably, whether that's going to be a happily ever after. If that's not believable, I won't do it. I'll have to put something in their background to make it believable that they're going to end up together, or I settle for a happily for now where they're going to explore the relationship further in their future.
So Sarah asks, how short is too short for short fiction?
There are Flash Fiction Fridays that fit on Twitter.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, there was a Twitter
There was a good Twitter one that you posted.
Well, our friend, our good friend Eric James Stone, for a long time, I don't know if he still does it, his business card has Flash Fiction on the back of it.
Yeah, I'm planning
brilliant
to talk a lot about that in a future podcast. But yeah, it was one of the things that blew my mind when he handed me the card, and then I flipped it over. There was a complete story on the back. It was great.
Yeah, I really admire Flash Fiction, and I love to see Flash Fiction paired with amazing artwork or photography that maybe inspired or spoke to the Flash Fiction.
All right. So, Aya asks, is publishing sections from a novel a viable way to get traction for that novel, or is there a better way to break in if you want a novel published?
Ooh, in what sense is she talking?
Yeah, like, are we talking about serialization or like, wow?
That I'm anticipating that she's like, should I take my novel and do it serialized or things like this? And we are going to talk serialized storytelling coming up. So watch for those podcasts. That'll be next month. But I would suggest that publishing sections from a novel, if you want to try that, look at Dragonflight by Anne McCaffrey, which she actually published the first few chapters because they made their own arc in one of the magazines, won the Hugo for that, and then released the full novel.
Now,
it's not what happened with Ender's Game, where it was a short story first that she expanded.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah. It was actually a section from a planned novel, as I understand it, that has the beginning, middle, and end, and is kind of the introduction of a woman, you know, joining the Dragon Riders.
Yeah.
And then the whole main story is her experiences there.
Interesting.
But historically, the short fiction market, and when I say historically, I'm talking about, you know, middle 20th century, the short fiction market was a low investment method for a new writer to introduce themselves to editors. The editor only has to spend about 15 minutes to read the entire submission to see if this person can tell a story. And so the short fiction market was, for many people, the only way to break in. It's the only way to introduce yourself. That is no longer the case.
Yeah.
But in some cases, it may still work.
Pat Rothfuss, Name of the Wind, won the Writers of the Future contest as an excerpt. It does happen. Let me warn you, as we have said earlier this month, read this genre if you want to write it.
Yeah.
Don't just be like, well, I'm a novel writer. I'm going to start, you know, bullying in and having my novel stuff, you know, try to get it published. Read the short fiction magazines. If you have something that's an excerpt of a novel, it'll fit. It happens all the time, but it happens because the person knows short fiction, has been reading short fiction, and is able to present a piece that works for the magazine's needs. The magazines are not a promotional opportunity. Well, they are an opportunity for you, but they don't exist to promote you. They exist to provide great experiences for their readers by authors who know the format. And if you can do that, great. If you can't, then you don't need to. Listen to what Howard just said. You know, this is not a requirement.
Hey, writers. Are you thinking about learning a new language? I think exploring the world, experiencing other cultures, and being able to communicate with people outside your everyday experience lets you create richer, better stories. A great way to do that is with Rosetta Stone, a trusted expert for over 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. They use an immersive technique which leads to fast language acquisition. It's an intuitive process that helps you really learn to speak, listen, and most of all, think in the language you're trying to learn. They also feature true accent speech recognition technology that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's like having a voice coach in your home. Learn at home or on the go with a desktop and mobile app that let you download and access lessons even when you're offline. And it's an amazing value. A lifetime membership gives you access to all 25 languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, and, of course, Korean. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Writing Excuses listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mm-hmm. Let's stop for our book of the week, which is actually Howard is going to do for us, Mind Over Matter.
Yes. Actually, the title of the book you'll get it in is Called to Battle, Volume 2 from Privateer Press's Skull Island Expeditions imprint. The story I wrote was called Mind Over Matter, and what they wanted was a horror story that introduced these mind slaver people to the reader. It's game fiction. It's designed to, in one way, embed people further in the game that they're playing. But when I set out to write it, and this one of the reasons I wanted to promote it is that, or promo it here, when I set out to write it, I knew I can't just be writing for people who play the game. I have been given an assignment by this company to write this story, but I need to say enough things in the course of telling the story that people completely unfamiliar with the game setting will immediately be on board with what's happening. So the volume is called Called to Battle Volume 2, and the story that I wrote is called Mind Over Matter.
All right. That sounds awesome. Let me ask you this one. Richard says, what should I look for in a semi-pro market if a story has already been rejected by the major markets? And I actually have an answer for this one prepared
okay.
in case you guys,
let's hear
because
it.
I was looking at this and thinking, there are lots of great semi-pro options. Dan and I edited a semi-pro science fiction magazine. And so, I would say reputation mixed with editorial style. Right? You want to look for the ones that are well-regarded online. At this point with semi-pro, you're not really looking for the money. It's going to pay you $50 or something like that. They should pay, but it doesn't matter if it's a tiny amount. You want good reputation, and you want to be reading some of these. Pick up issues and say, hey, does this style, would my story fit in here? Mm-hmm. Again, don't just be blindly sending out to everything listed in Writer's Market. You want to be part of the community and part of the conversation.
I don't want to name any names, but when we worked on that magazine, there was another magazine that I guess was one step lower than semi-pro mm-hmm. that we had a lot of responses of people that we rejected who later got published in this other one, and they would write us kind of snide letters saying, see, it was good enough.
That happened like three or four times.
It happened a lot mm-hmm. to the point that we commented on it. But then what we found when Brandon and I started going around to conventions and world fantasy and things and talking to editors, is that professional editors at big houses knew who we were. They recognized our magazine, and they'd never heard of this other one. And so there is something to be said for reputation.
Now, let me say this. My friend Jim Zub used to do portfolio reviews, and he would find in portfolios that he rejected for admission into the program that he's an instructor for, where someone had done a piece of artwork on notebook paper and submitted it that way. And Jim's response was, guys, if you drew it on notebook paper, draw it again. If you're not willing to draw it again, this is not the market for you. If you're writing short fiction and it gets rejected, write something else.
Right,
you have to be able to write it again.
I agree with that 100%. At the same time, though, most professionals say, send that piece out until, you uh-huh. are down to the cooking magazines that occasionally want, send it out to get that experience of doing it. But
and
yes,
for me, the point of diminishing returns is if I'm spending more time pitching and submitting a story than I am spending writing stories, I should probably write something new.
Now, one thing I'd like to point out is that it could be hard to figure out what's the reputation of that magazine. Mm-hmm. So I would say one really quick reference that I have is a site called Predators and Editors that you can go check it out. There's forum style and there are also lists where people share their experiences on the magazine. Now, it's not a blacklist or anything like that, but the idea is that you can see what other people have experienced, what year they experienced it in, maybe that particular publisher, whether it's a magazine level or whatever.
I'll put a link to that in the liner notes, and there's some other resources.
Yes, we often mention Predators and Editors and the Absolute Right water cooler.
Yes, Absolute Right.
In the same, and anytime I need to investigate a publisher or a magazine, Absolute Right always has a thread on it where people who have actually worked with them post their experiences.
The issue for many new writers is, I don't even know where to look to find this stuff out. And the answer is, there's plenty of places to look. You just need to know what they're called.
Yeah.
All right. Last question from Natalie. What aspects are crucial in novels but redundant in short fiction, or vice versa?
Never redundant, but maybe too in-depth, I would say.
Page 80.
Yeah. Oh, page 80.
So redundant. How many books have we read that have five page 80s?
Mm. All right. So here's my take on this. One thing is, in every novel, nothing is absolutely crucial because you can break any rule. Remember that. But in every novel I do, I try to overlap major character moments of discovery with major plot elements, either learning something about the world, learning something about the past, or accomplishing something. In a short story, overlapping too much of that will actually fizzle your bang rather than make your explosion larger.
Yeah. Just remember that any subplots, characters, and locations that you add are going to balloon much faster and more catastrophically in short fiction than in a novel.
Agreed.
The prologue and the epilogue.
Your prologue basically is a short story. Your epilogue's another short story.
All right. I'm going to call it by giving you some homework, which is I'm just going to require you to go buy a short story collection. All you novelists out there, I want you to buy one. And I actually want you to buy one that has a variety of authors in it. I don't want you this time to go buy my collection. I want you to go get Year's Best, maybe Gardner Dozois's Year's Best, or I want you to get a themed anthology. One of George Martin's themed anthologies would be a great place to go.
Is Uncanny a good one to pick up?
Yeah, all sorts of things.
Clark's World.
Totally. Get one of these magazines. Buy Clark's World or Uncanny, which are fantastic magazines. But get something that's got a variety of authors in it. If you haven't read one of these in the last year, this is your homework. If you have, then you get to take the week off. This has been Writing Excuses. You're out of excuses. Now go write.
Writing Excuses is a Dragonsteel production, jointly hosted by Brandon Sanderson, Dan Wells, Mary Robinette Kowal, and Howard Taylor. This episode was mastered by Alex Jackson.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.